I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
Oh, give me fucking truth, baby. Come on. Let's go.
How have I been this successful?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the MMA Analysis Podcast. Before we get into things, let's just get right into things. Wesley, the absolute heater of all heaters. So for folks behind the scenes, you've got to know what a wild ride this was. And so after the first event for Toutmaster, Sean's like, man, look at this guy who's got like this 5-point lead. He, I was like,
I would know by the next event. I said that. I was like, oh shit. He's way out there, bro.
did he get, he ended up having 2 points.
Yeah. Oof,
that's a high and a low real quick.
That's what Sean said to me.
Islam and I don't know, the jail man.
After I brought that up, Sean was quick to say that. Like, well, that just means it's probably, I was like, all right. And then it was bad for old boy.
And then a couple days later, I was just like scrolling through, putting in my Toutmaster picks, threw together what my initial picks were. I think I might have just stuck with those all the way through. The potential points were 28.4, and I just messaged in the group. I was like, what's the highest Toutmaster score ever? 2 days later, Wesley drops 20 burger in Toutmaster, highest score in at least 2 years, possibly ever. We'll say ever for now until somebody proves us wrong. I'm not going to do that.
Some big dogs barking.
Yeah. But anyways, Wesley, you've taken over top spot in Toutmaster, so the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I mean it's early. I've had the lead early a couple times over the years, and once I've gone to about the last month in the top 3 or 4 or something like that. But like you never know, man. It's a long year with a lot of shitty fights that you could flip a coin. Yep. And you know, it's tough too with MMA nowadays, is like we've talked about that faves have hit at like 70% over the past two or three years.
Dogs were, but down. Like
there's some big dogs hitting, but you got at this shit, man, like Toutmaster, you got to find your spots. And there was a couple spots on this card. We talked about it. If people listened last week, our old fucking grizzled veteran got it done on the painted nails kid. I didn't, more importantly, I'm up 12 and a half units on the first two cards of the year. And I was nowhere near that over the past couple of years. So I'm much more happier with that right now. And that's without posting, or that's without tracking the Barcelos bet that I had a little money on it as well. So
you couldn't even put it down for some real money, huh?
I mean, I bet it with actual money. I posted the ticket, but I didn't want to like, there's two or three people that play my MMA, and it's been shit for a couple of years. So I was like, he's got a chance. I didn't want him to waste their money and then turn around and this guy like puts a fucking vet lesson on this motherfucker at what, 7-1 or something like that. It was crazy.
That was big.
Yep. Sean, how you doing?
But Brad, you're second. You're second in Toutmaster. Let's talk about, you had a hell of a week too. What were you like, 18 points or something like that? Or
was, yeah, I think
crazy.
It was a big number. Let me see. I've got it up in another.
He is technically
here.
He got just under 17 points, and you got 21. Yeah,
nothing.
Man, I had a hell of nothing. A now,
but also gotta, much happier gotta, about the money. That got
put your picks back in the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'll be fine until like May. Yeah. The problems don't start until the nice weather rolls.
The weather gets good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that's a struggle.
You know, that one cottage afternoon that gets away from me, and boom, that's it. Toastmasters.
I mean, speaking of that, this is going to be a tester for a bunch of people because fights. I don't know. There was obviously two fights canceled. I don't know. They said they weren't changing the start time for Saturday. I don't know if that's been confirmed.
Did we have somebody miss picks on the first event?
We did. I mean, that. Whatever. We won't talk about that. But this one's a 9 a.m. Eastern start time. So picks lock at 8 Eastern. So there's a bunch of people that like to put their picks in on Saturday afternoon. Hopefully they're going to miss. Where the fights on Saturday are taking place. So
consider this your official warning. And then, you know.
And if you forget anyway, then I guess you should have listened to our shitty podcast instead of not listening to
it. Hey, our verified, confirmed, documented top 45, top 23 MMA podcast. Not to get too specific about where we are in the list, but
I mean,
we're definitely in the top 23.
If you take out a few that don't even exist anymore, we might be hitting the top 20.
Honestly. There you go. Killing it. MMA analysis always on the rise. I think that's all we're going to say about the previous event because it was 2 weeks ago at this point. Nobody gives a shit anymore. It was good though. It was fun. This weekend, we're over in Saudi Arabia. We've got a bunch of guys that you would be expecting to fight in Saudi Arabia. And then they paired them all up against black guys. Did you notice that? Please go to decision over there at the top of this card. Whew, could be trouble.
Couple chicks, they're going to actually let fight with their faces free.
You know why they had to hold this card in Saudi Arabia? It's because Trump canceled all the DEI in America. So now they have to have the women's fights in other countries. They can't have them in the U.S. anymore. Right?
Well, at least you got two foreigners, you know, but in the women's fight, I love that they canceled the DEI and it's hitting all of the massive group of people that's used it over the last 25 years. All the white women, all the white women are all bent out of shape now because their VA jobs and shit are going away and stuff like. Yeah, DEI kind of helped white women a whole lot over the past 25 years. Y'all didn't fucking realize that, did you?
Yeah, interesting times you guys got going down there. Yeah. Sean and I were chatting about it a little bit before the podcast, so let's not get too deep into it. But we will kick it off. How many fights do we have? Like 14 or something? No, fights got canceled.
Wow, not anymore. 11. Ooh, yeah, love it. Beautiful.
Kicking it off with some big boys. We've got Hamdi Burger taking on Jamal Pokes. Almost t-shirt. It depends what kind of supplements Hamdi's on for this one, whether it's a t-shirt in a pool fight or not. But Sean, what do you got here?
I mean, the odds show that it's a t-shirt in the pool fight. Over 1.5 is -500 at old Bovada. Like, oh my God, that's what we're in store for the old curtain jerker. This is sloppy, absolute coin flip fight. Very, very shitty heavyweights. I guess I will take Pogues, I guess. They're both terrible.
Pogues, I guess. Some real conviction there from Sean. Wes, what do you got?
Yeah, I think you got to take Pogues in this spot. Just by sure. He's going to have the slightly bit more cardio than this guy. This dude's either juicing out. He's going to fucking crash out or he's off the juice. He's going to fucking crash out. You can't bet Jamal Pogues, but look, I know we love fatties and shit and stuff. And look, this fight just might be a little out of hand though. Like the fight inside is +160 again. Like Hamdi literally is probably going to gas out after a round of swinging. So what happens after that? It's going to get sloppy, but is he going to make it another 10? You know, I just, I might take a little fight inside, man. That I just think that minus 500 over 1.5. Like, I get it, but this is just getting a little crazy in this fight, in my opinion. So probably some fight inside. Pogues is the pick, but no money on either side.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Wes here as much as
Oh shit. Reverse baddies.
The heavyweight unders. Nobody wants to see that stuff. But man, the only fight that Hamdy's ever gone to decision in was the one where he got popped for doing roids. So we'll see if he can even go 15 minutes when he's not on the supplements, on the wellness program, as it were. And then they are big fat dudes, so there's a chance that one of them could clip the other, and it could be over extremely early as well. So that's one of the bigger numbers I've seen in a while for a heavyweight doesn't go, and it's kind of tempting just on principle alone. So I think I'm with you, Wes. I think I'm getting there.
Oh, shit.
Next up, featherweight division, Bogdan Grad taking on Lucas Alexander.
Should be kind of, I guess, at least these are 145ers and it should be, you know, violent because, I mean, both these dudes aren't very good. You know, these at least make it fun. That's what we can hope for. I guess I will take Lucas Alexander for some reason.
Yeah, this Bogdan fella lost to that super hyped British dude on Contender Series and then won a split decision last year on Contender Series to get in because you know, you need to put in a great performance to get in off of
Contender Series. Everybody wants to fight, as we say, every fucking week.
He beat Michael as well. Yeah, man, this is a fight. Wes, what do you got?
Yeah, not much on this one. I think it should get kind of scrappy and stuff. I think they're gonna throw the Bogdan guy just kind of goes all out and throws. I feel like Alexander's fought the slightly better competition, trains with a little bit better guys and shit. So lean him, but man, flip a coin. Who fucking knows? Total pass on a bit.
Feels very much like flip a coin. I'll go with the Austrian Wiener, Bogdan Grad, just to be different.
He's got some shoulder pain going on.
There you go. Women's flyweight division, Jasmine Jezadovicius, Canadian pound for pound number 2. Against Myra Bonesaw. What was that, Wes?
I said easily number 2.
Sadly, yep. Number 2.
There you go. That's a better description for sure.
Yeah, Sean, what do you got in this barrier breaking moment in MMA?
It's sad these days when even, you know, even those people are getting push the leftist bullshit. You got to have women fighting. even they're succumbing to it. It's a sad day for oppression.
What are the Saudis going to let them do next? Drive? Like, come on. What are we doing here, folks?
You can fight in a cage, but don't you dare touch that steering wheel, motherfucker. They're going to cut your hands off.
Fighting. It's kind of wild to see the old Bonesaw MBS, her career, just like, it could have went a lot better if she was, I guess, a good fighter, because she chokes out Holly Holm.
Interesting just, perspective.
Just chokes out Holly Holm. Good, best win of her career. She gets popped for steroids. They don't give a shit because, you know, this weight class is a fucking shit show these days. They put her in a title fight against Raquel Pennington and she fucking gets smoked and gasses out. And then she's lost a couple straight. She's not good. Jazavish is sadly Canadian MMA Canadian pound for pound number two. Probably going to be able to grapple and win a boring decision.
Wesley.
Yeah, that's probably true. She's probably going to be able to grind her way to a decision here, but man, this seems a little wide for a 35-year-old Canadian who lost to Tracy Cortez about 15 months ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know MBS isn't great, but you know what you're going to get out of her. Like, she's not going to quit in this fight. She's going to stay in it. She can usually, like, keep a fight up a little bit. When you're spamming takedowns on her, you wear her down. You can get her down sometimes, but I think she's going to make her work here. And that's just a wild line. There's some plus 220 out there. There's some plus 430 on MBS decision. That just feels like something I'm probably going to have to take a little bit of, and hopefully I can get a little kind of split decision, salty shit. They think it's the prince's, you know, little sister MBS over there. And they kind of throw a bone per se her way. And yeah, I'll probably
say saw it a little differently.
Yeah. little MBS plus 220 decision plus 430, you know, probably half shot on those each, and probably loses a close decision, but at that kind of price, I think it's worth a shot.
Wesley, we're on the same page tonight. I'm thinking the same thing. Price is just a little too long. Jazavish never really dominates fights. She's usually in relatively close competitive fights. There's a little bit of, you know, sub potential, I guess, for the bone saw. Other than that, I see it probably going 15 minutes. And Jeff makes the best point of all. Never trust Canadian fighters. We've learned this time after time. And we've got a big Canadian favorite here. Got to go the other way. Lightweight division. Terrence McKinney's always good for some fun. And he's taking on, I don't know if this guy is just returning to the UFC or if he's been back for a couple years. But Demir Hadzovic, he was around like a decade ago, and now he's back again.
Almost 3 years.
He's really been back for almost 3 years.
No, nah, it's just he fought two and a half years. Yeah, he fought Diakisi like two and a half years ago. Yeah.
Hasn't taken a fight since.
All right. Well, apparently he's been in the UFC the whole time.
Yep. He had one canceled in February of last year. But
yeah, I know. But like, still, I knew he was in the UFC back in the day. But he fights so infrequently that I legitimately thought he got cut and like went back to Europe, won a couple fights over there and came back to the UFC. But no, he's just been in the UFC the whole time. Wild. It's crazy what you learn when you look at these guys.
if McKinney is not a moron, he grapples and probably smashes this guy. I guess grabs a sub. I don't know. Like, I guess he'd get some ground and pound. If McKinney's an idiot and just stands with this guy, then he's got a better shot than what the odds say. I don't really want to touch this fight. Under 1.5 is like minus -240. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
40 is the 30. McKinney's gone under 2.5 in all nine, or under 1.5 in all nine of his UFC fights. So I kind of get it. Hadzovic doesn't usually get smoked out of there. I know, like, Moicano subbed him out quick. Other than that, like, most of his fights have gone deeper. So I don't know. The way that I would play this is probably the over 1.5 is just a dart. I guess you can take McKinney sub if you think that's the way it's going to go, but fuck, I don't know. He doesn't have very good fight IQ, and chaos usually happens in his fights. So I'd probably just try to hit some big money on an over 1.5.
Wesley.
Yeah, I don't know how there's any way in fucking hell you trust McKinney at this kind of price. Like this guy, like he's fun as hell, but he's fun as hell because he can be absolutely deaded in an instant. Like, I'm kind of with Sean. I think Hadjovic is really tough and stuff. And I think that just, I don't even know about a 1.5. I just think that keeps him from those first few bursts of McKinney that's going to come in that first round. And if he gets through that, like, he's got a shot in this fight. Like, could he get smoked by McKinney in fucking 90 seconds? Yeah, it's what McKinney does to some guys. I'm looking at a couple darts too, but the darts I'm looking at is Hadjovic in round one is plus 1200 and Hadjovic in round two is plus 1600. If McKinney doesn't dust this guy, I think McKinney folds like he always folds when he can't get guys out of there. And I think if Hadjovic is going to win this fight, that's how it's going to play out. So I'm probably going to throw a half unit on each one of those, and hopefully McKinney does dumb shit like he's known to do. Probably smokes this dude in a couple minutes. He's been off for 2.5 years and shit, but, man, we've seen McKinney, and we've seen McKinney lately, and he gives you opportunities.
I've never really looked at them before, but I wonder how low the first minute finish would be for McKinney. Because that kind of feels like if he doesn't get it in that first minute, it might not happen. But he's got potential to do it both ways in this fight, honestly. Hadžević can be knocked out, and I know McKinney's not the grappler that Moicano is, but McKinney is good at just like getting guys down and immediately getting to their back. So I can see that very quick finish. But Wesley, that's a... it's a tempting angle you got there.
Those numbers are kind of crazy for outcomes that are very possible.
Yeah, we'll see where we go with that one. I think that could be, like, I just can't trust McKinney as that big of a favorite, so we might be looking at Hadžević as a bit of a Toutmaster pick there. We'll see. Big boys again.
Big boys.
Gassiev. Taking on Thomas the Tank, Thomas the Train. No, he's gassy as well. Peterson. Sean?
Just tons of slop. I think Gassiev is a fraud. He gets hit a lot, and he's not good. Problem is, Peterson's not good either. I mean, he lost very recently to the guy that's opening this fight card that we said is very bad in Jamal Pogue. So I get the number. Like, I get people taking Peterson with the big number. It's shitty low-level heavyweights. This is probably one of those ones where I'm going to pass, and you two are probably like, fuck it, throw it. Like you did last week with some of those big dogs, and you'll cash. So you're welcome. I will stay away. You guys can cash those tickets if that is what you want to do.
You're not mushing too bad this year.
You're picking.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, you're doing good too. Shit.
Being picky.
Wesley, what do you got?
Well, the first thing that I'm noticing is the old fatties is getting closer and closer to price range. It's down to minus 153, 150. We're getting close. So that comes down a tiny bit more. That's an absolute fucking bet. Gaziev's a fucking fraud, like an absolute fraud. Look, I don't know if Peterson's the guy. I know it's probably going to go 15 minutes and be a bunch of slop, and you're going to flip a coin with these shitty judges. I mean, there's some plus 550 out there on Peterson decision. Like, I'm going to take a little bit of that. I'm going to take a little Peterson money line as well, but I'm waiting on fatties to get in position, because that's, if this fight doesn't go 15, I'll be kind of shocked, honestly. Peterson's the pick, maybe a bet on that decision, but watching this overline.
And yeah, I was kind of hoping for the later lines in the fight to be a little bit bigger. Like the fight goes maybe to get up around 200 or something like that. As it stands, do like the over as well, because just fat dudes, they're going to get stuck in the clinch. They're going to turn each other back and forth on the fence. And then at the end of 15 minutes, because they're in Saudi Arabia, the Russian guy's probably going to win. I would like it to go the other way and bet the dog and be right, but I think I'm just going to stick to the over in this one. I think that Gaziev is probably going to get the benefit of the doubt on the scorecards, a little bit more control time, a little bit more, I don't want to say oomph, but like a little bit less jello in his punches. But still a lot of jello overall. There's a lot of jiggle going on. Either way, not expecting much out of this one. Maybe that'll be the start of my afternoon nap. You know, because we'll probably be right around noon by the time that fight goes down. That could put me right out for an hour or so. Next up, we're going to the main card. We've got John Naimov taking on Khan Offley. Featherweights, allegedly. Sean, Wrath of Khan?
I don't have much on the Wrath of Khan. That is a forgettable night. I don't really remember watching it. Santos smoked him, looks like. Naimov is definitely not as good as those three wins that he got. I don't think he looked great in those, and I guess we could have seen this latest loss coming, but I definitely didn't wager any on it, so that's unfortunate. But I don't know. I think he probably wins, but keep laying these like big numbers on this guy when he just doesn't seem to be that good and seems to be getting a tiny bit lucky. You can get on that. I'll just leave it.
Wesley, I'm sure that you've got at least somewhat of an idea of who this Khan fella is. He was on the Tough. Apparently he fought the dude with the most South African name of all time. In Rodi Roots, which I assume translates from Boer to apartheid. but wow, that's quite the name on that fella. What do you got here?
Yeah, and he was as South African as that sounds. O'Conn is really, really good wrestler. He's going to look for takedowns there, and I think that's gonna be a problem. He's really short dude for the weight class, so Naimov is going to have a height and reach advantage on him. Pretty big in this fight. If he could get consistent takedowns, he might have a shot, but I just don't see that against Naimov. It's probably going to be on the feet. He beat some dudes up on top, but then ran into Santos in the final, I believe. And Santos is actually decent, fucked him up. I think that's kind of how this fight's going to look. If I was looking at anything, it'd probably be an over, but that's just a little too juicy for me. But never touch Naimov in minus fucking 300 or whatever he is. Against this guy's not great, but a dude that's got decent wrestling and a little cardio, do not lay minus fucking 330 on Naimov in this spot. Just a warning.
Yeah, that's weird to be that big a line coming off a loss, especially a loss to a debuting guy in the UFC. Usually those things, I don't know, have a bit more of an effect on the public perception, but I guess people think Khan is that bad. Maybe he is. I do not know. I'm not going to put in the work to find out, because if he is that bad, I will probably never see one of his fights. So, sure. Naimov gets another win, and we'll have to water that plant a little bit more because it's definitely coming back around in the next fight or two, I think. Lightweight division. Up next, Fares Ziam taking on Mike Davis. Is this going to be decent? Davis is fun sometimes, right, Sean?
Now that he's grappling, it's not as fun. Gotcha. I mean, when he gets the finish, then it's all right. But if he doesn't, it's a bit dry.
I mean, the last one was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes,
of course. Beautiful. I've kind of been caught off guard by Ziam. He's a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I think this is a fairly straightforward fight. If Mike Davis is able to grapple and grapple successfully, he's going to win this fight. I don't know if he gets a sub. It's probably a decision. But if Ziam's able to stuff some takedowns, then he's going to be the better guy on the feet. Tons of money coming in on Ziam. He's like minus 260 for almost days, and now he's plus 120, and people are just hammering the shit out of him. I kind of get that at that large number. Now that it's, you know, minus 140 for Davis, I'd still side with him. I think he successfully grapples here. But I don't really want to bet either side here now that the big plus money's gone on Ziam.
Wesley.
Yeah, Ziam has actually been on a crazy run since getting choked dead by McKinney. But I think this is kind of a bad matchup for him. I lean Davis getting those takedowns. I mean, like, Ziam still had problems with guys getting him against the cage, being able to get some takedowns. He has gotten way better on his get-up game and shit like that, but Mike Davis is a big fucking dude for the weight class. I would look Davis decision. That's like plus 180 out there, but it's probably not something I'm going to bet. It wouldn't shock me if Ziam caught something on him. Like the kid's just, he's on one of those rolls right now to where you kind of want to stay away from that train. So I'm just going to probably stay away from this one.
Yeah. Ziam's, I'm still not sold. I don't know if it's the guys he's beat or how he's beaten them or the fact that he couldn't really get a convincing win over Claudio Buelish, who only knows how to do knee bars and nothing else. But I still have my doubts here. I get the plus 240s and taking that price. I think if you put this fight in front of me and ask me to line it, I would have Davis as the favorite. He is the favorite. Not really interested in betting it, but I am going to pick Mike Davis in this one. And we'll keep it moving along to the bantamweight division. The last few fights are pretty decent here. We've got one of the more distant Nurmagomedovs to be exposed as fraudulent. Taking on old Loke Dog, everybody's favorite. Sean, why are we cheering for Loke Dog here, and does he get it done?
I mean, the way he fights, you got to usually be cheering for Loke Dog, and especially against who he's fighting. He came through as a decent-sized dog last time out against Ricky Simone.
Great performance.
Looked very good. Didn't see that coming, very impressive. And now he's kind of the same. He's in the same spot. You know, it's not as big of plus money because I think people do kind of see the limitations with the old Saeed. Saeed bet. He's got some nasty subs, and he can catch him at weird times. Ken Nurmagomedov. So, I mean, Loke Dog will have to mind his P's and Q's when he's, I don't know if he's going to go for takedowns, or he probably should mix it up and try for some takedowns, but yeah, he could get his neck snatched there. So I'll pick the Loke Dog. Hopefully he comes through, but it's a bit scary.
Wesley.
Yeah, it's a tough fight, man. It would definitely be dog or pass for me here. I think Logue Dog's going to bring the fight. It's can he stay out of those spots like Sean talked about, not get his neck snatched up? He's pretty good at like distance when he's striking and stuff. So, I mean, if he can keep this up and it's, you know, a 90% kickboxing match, absolutely, it's a really good spot for him. Think we probably get that. His takedown defense is pretty good and stuff. So, it's a dog I want to play, but it's a really close fight. It's one of the hardest fights for me to pick on the entire card. Lean Logue Dog. Don't mind that dog money. Definitely dog or pass.
Yeah, I think the biggest danger for him in this fight would be if he's actually aggressively pursuing takedowns, because that's when he's going to stick his neck in there and Saeed's going to be able to snatch something up. If he keeps this mostly at distance, I think he's going to land the bigger shots. I don't know that he'll necessarily have more volume because Saeed's always kind of throwing stuff out there to gauge distance, to not really do anything with it after the fact. But there is going to be, I think, a lot of volume at range versus a lot of flurries. And if Logue Dog can land a few things in there, then I think he could snatch this one away. So, yeah, I'm going to side with old Vinny Oliveira. Vinny Olives. He's not on the Chucky Olives level. Never will be. But he's fun for now. We'll keep him around for a while. Big boys again. Definitely not T-shirt in the pool for at least half of this matchup. Sergey Pavlovich. Javsinho. Rosenstruck. Sean.
I really wanted to bet Pavlovich here. It opened minus 210. It moved to minus 240. And then I was like, oh, maybe it'll go back closer to minus 200. And then it got absolutely smoked a couple days ago. And now he's like minus 330. So I'm not going to be touching it at that price just because heavyweights, especially heavyweights with the kind of power that Rosenstruck does have. You know, I know Pavlovich kind of got put in his place against Volkov last time out there. That was a really good fight for Volkov. That's probably his best performance to date. And it was a tough matchup just because Volkov actually used his length in that fight, and he has long limbs. That's definitely a different style matchup than that. Rosenstruck's very plodding. I think he's going to be there to be hit. I guess if he can land some leg kicks on Pavlovich, then maybe he can slow him down. But I think eventually Pavlovich is going to catch that chin and it's going to be over. I'm not as down on Pavlovich as some people, so maybe I'm being fooled.
Let's not remember that Volkov also beat the absolute piss and shit out of Rosenstruck, so Pavlovich losing to him doesn't look so bad in retrospect.
Yeah.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, I think Volkov on any given night is one of the best heavyweights on the entire planet on any given night. I think he gives any dude.
Especially if you're not going to grapple him.
he gives Tom Aspinall a fight on a good night. Like he's different. He's just a different heavyweight. I don't think that's a bad loss. I did like that Pavlich like never gave up in that fight. Like he took a fucking ass whooping in that fight. I lean him in this fight as well. The line's a little crazy for it being heavyweights, and I guess Rosenstruck does have a little pop. I'm not too worried about Rosenstruck knocking Pavlich out, especially after watching the last fight, but it's possible. Kind of the angle I'm looking at is I'm waiting on the lines to come out for fight starts round two. I think you're going to get some plus money on that. The over 1.5 is plus 180 out there. Some look, Rosenstruck does a lot of nothing. That dude fucking does a whole lot of nothing. I don't think Pavlich is a guy that's going to chase him down wildly and try to do Pavlich, especially coming off two losses, that last loss. I think you're going to see a little bit of a measured Pavlich. I think Sean's right. He's eventually going to get his distance, going to get his timing and probably get in and land something. But man, for a round, Rozenstruik is circling and fucking calf kicking for a round. So when that fight starts, round two comes out, I'll absolutely be on that. And I kind of like – I'm looking at Pavlich in like round two is plus 450. I think that's more kind of where this happens. I think it gets out of the first, and somewhere in the second, Pavlich gets his timing, gets his range, finds Rozenstruik, and gets a finish. So like that Pavlich round two plus 450, kind of small, but really looking for that fight starts round two line.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be patient as Wes and wait for the round two line. I think I'm just going to take some fatties here.
It's not bad.
As Wes said, Rozenstruik's going to do a lot of circling. He doesn't have like a bad chin. Like he knows when punches are coming at yep. him and from where in most cases. So. I think it's just the hog KO, which like nobody knew where that punch was coming from because it came from south of the equator. And then Volkov, who have finished him with strikes in the first round. There could be some of Pavlovich having a more measured game plan after a couple losses and trying to get more of a complete decision win, or not even a decision win, but a complete, you know, more thorough win in. So I can see a couple avenues where this might go over 1.5. Obviously, Wes's bet is the safer one when that comes out, but it's life without a little risk. We're going fatties for the least fat heavyweight probably on the roster. One of them. Anyway, co-main event time now. Middleweight division. We've got the glass eye glazed guy.
Watch that glaze, baby.
Taking on old MVP, who honestly has done much better in the UFC than I anticipated that he would. Sean.
Man, they're babying the shit out of this head fighter. They will not give him a fighter with like an ounce of real grappling skills because they know what's going to happen when Mikey O is taking you down like three times and fucking Bruno Silva's getting
Bruno
you down
Silva
three
almost
times.
Out-grappled him to a decision.
Wild. So then they're giving him all these strikers. Then they're giving him a 170-er. I don't know why. Why do they give a shit about this guy? Why are they mashing him up this way? I am just waiting to fade him. I'm also not going to miss the opportunity when you have a guy like MVP fighting this guy. You know, he's Shitmadov's got some flashy shit, but There's long stretches of fights where he's getting outstruck. I think MVP can do it. I think he's going to be the much faster fighter. The question is the punches that he's going to land, because he will land, are they going to do anything to a 185er? I guess we're going to find out. I think he's got to throw a bunch more than what he's been throwing. In his UFC career. And if he does that, I don't think it matters. He can win a decision here. If he doesn't throw much, then this fight gets a lot closer. But at the plus money, I'll take MVP. I got him at plus 152 for 2 units.
Wesley.
Yeah, not too much to add to that. I'm the same way here. I just this fucking fraud Medoff motherfucker, man. They've given him some bums, and man, there's big stretches to where he's getting fucking tooled by bums. No MVP's a 170-er. I don't think he's going to necessarily land like really clean or really like damaging stuff here. I think he can land clean on this guy, though. He's going to have the speed. He's got to throw, like Sean mentioned. Man, I just, as far as talent and skill goes here, I don't think it's close. MVP is actually a very skilled fucking fighter, getting a little old now. But man, some of the shit he pulled off 5 years ago was just insane highlight reel stuff. Like, the Gary loss, decision loss doesn't look as bad anymore, honestly. The win over Kevin Holland was not a, that's a decent win, man. Kevin Holland is a ranked dude. So at dog money here against a guy that I just think is an absolute fraud, has gotten away with easy matchups and surviving in spots, and then he pulls off some dumb spinning shit so people freak out and he's the next fucking thing. Like, give me a break, man. I'll take his dog money on MVP, and hopefully, just like Sean mentioned, hopefully he throws enough. I think if he throws enough, he can win a decision here.
Yeah, I don't think the size, the weight, I should say, is a factor in this one, because it's not like old Glazmadov is going to be shooting any takedowns or really forcing grappling on MVP, because we've seen what he looks like in that realm, and it is not pretty. So we've got a 15-minute distance kickboxing match. And, like, if you're MVP, what more could you ask for in a fight?
That's all you can ask for, yep.
Like, that's exactly what he wants against a guy who doesn't have a lot of substance but is a lot of flash. And MVP is a lot of flash too, but he actually does have the basics, the fundamentals behind that flash. I think he's probably the longest guy that that the Bullet has fought. And he certainly knows how to use that reach the best of anybody that the Bullet has fought. So just hoping that actually, you know what? I don't even care if I win this one, because you know, if he wins this fight, the next price is going to be Talbot shit. Like, it's going to be something goofy, and I don't know how many more strikers are left in the middleweight division that he can face with the ranking that he'll have attained at that point, that don't know how to grapple. So his time is coming real soon. I'm not willing to bank on it not being this weekend, though. So I will also be playing Michael Page. +165, I think, was at Caesars for us folks that have access to stuff like that. So that's the price that I will be taking. And
plus
Sean,
164.
What are we doing?
BetOnline, +164.
Yeah, beautiful. For everybody. For the masses. Consensus bet of the week. We hit it last week. What, or 2 weeks ago. What was that we played?
RDR?
Dog yeah, money. The easiest fucking cash ever.
Yeah, I got a little of that in the sub. The sub was +425.
Yeah. I think we talked about that on the podcast too. We're good at this, I think.
Sometimes.
Anyway, let's keep that going. Should have been Hound last week, but last card. Main event. Staying in the middleweight division. Nasruddin Imavov and Israel Adesanya. Interesting. Sean, will Israel finally face some repercussions?
No, like usual, no.
Yeah.
Let's keep like this theme going.
Bulletproof, man. this fight is basically Adesanya washed. That's really what this comes down to. He lost that Strickland fight. I don't think many people thought it gave Strickland too much of a chance, and especially the way that he did it. Is he just couldn't it figure it out?
Honestly,
it was wild to see somebody just get absolutely shut down like that, and then gets a title shot off a loss because he is Izzy, and looks not amazing against DDP. He was still winning.
He looked good up until the...
Until he kind of gassed, and I don't know.
He got clipped by some weird dumb shit, like straight up. It happens. But yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Especially in DDP fights. The man does not make sense. He doesn't make sense to us. He doesn't make sense to professional fighters. It doesn't make sense, but it works. So, but yeah, if Izzy's still, you know, close to what he was, even a little bit less than that, I think he beats Imovov, you know, fairly decisively. The skill gap is fairly large in here. I don't think Imovov is going to go for too many takedowns, and I think Izzy, you know, his takedown defense is good enough to stuff Imovov's takedowns that aren't amazing. And yeah, I think just on the feet, it's a pretty, there's a skill gap there. Could Izzy be washed? It's possible. He's fought a lot. He's not super young. He's fought a lot, so it's definitely possible. But I'm banking on Izzy still being motivated because of who he is. There's some big fights that still can happen, and all he needs to win is like one or two fights. I'm banking on that. So I played him at -160, laid it to win 2 units.
Wesley.
Yeah, that video of Izzy and Rob Whitaker sitting there kind of talking about their losses to DDP was really good. Like, as those two guys, two of the most skilled dudes the sport has ever seen, talking about a dude that's like, looks so shit, yet it works. And they like give him his props. You know, they're like, he's a good champion. He's a good fighter, but the guy does nothing good. You know what I'm saying? I thought, so the Strickland fight was bad for Izzy. I kind of want to say that's a throwaway because, man, he looked like he was completely just out of it in that fight the entire time. He looked good against DDP, in my opinion. I thought he was doing everything he wanted to do. He stopped some takedowns. He got in a takedown one time and had a choking bag, got out of it, stayed in the fight, got out of it, survived, was up in that fight, was rolling, was going to go on to win a decision to be the fucking champ again, and got caught. But DDP is – he just unorthodox. He catches you with crazy shit, and it happened. I don't think Izzy is anywhere near like washed or anything like that. And in this matchup, like, he's fighting a dude that's like a way shittier version of him. Like, Imovov is not gonna go for takedowns. We watched Imovov stand with. He was looking shit early against Cannonier. Like, Dalidze had him in all kinds of shit. Fucking Chris Curtis was fucking piecing this guy up. Like,
he was getting lit up by Brendan Allen when Allen was not trying to gas, like, to do throw stupid shots trying to take him down.
Yeah, yeah. And now he's standing across the ring with one of the best kickboxers the sport's ever seen. And we're probably going to get a kickboxing match in this fight. This is disrespectful, in my opinion. I think you're probably going to look back and be like, fuck, that was a gift. We got Izzy at around -150 against Imovov. Like, come on, man. And Sean's exactly right. Izzy is one fight away from some huge shit. Like, Imovov is ranked, highly ranked at this point. He fucking styles on this guy. Like, he's right back there for any number of huge fights at 185. So, man, I really like Izzy here. It would take him being falling off a cliff. And I do like all of the videos and shit I've seen of Izzy lately. Like, he's bringing in it like Whitaker's coming there to train and they're like one-on-one training and shit. I know Whitaker's a 170er and shit, but like That's just getting different books and
the same way, cost. They fight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah. But just getting different looks, bringing different, and seems still motivated. Like he's still in it to win it. So I like Izzy a lot in this fight. I think it's a great matchup for him to get back on a winning track.
Yeah, Imavov's actually been much better than I thought he was ever going to end up when I was watching Phil Hoggs push him up against the cage, despite being rocked out of his mind multiple times in that fight. But aside from his obvious weakness being letting guys just hold him up against the cage, like happened after he almost ended Dolidze and then basically got held up against the cage for 20 minutes for the rest of that awful fight. I just don't think he's going to force a difficult fight onto Izzy. He doesn't have that like constant forward pressure that Strickland does. I mean, we saw that when those two guys fought, that Strickland did what he always does and set the pace for the majority of that fight. So I think unless Imavov comes out of nowhere and goes super grapple heavy and super forward striking pressure, I don't think his style really troubles Izzy. I think it's a kickboxing match. Izzy finds his range relatively early, probably starts piecing him up around round two, round three, and we might even see a late Izzy stoppage that gets people back on the train for him. So price is getting closer and closer, a little bit more and more tempting. We're down like, what, minus 160 range? Some stuff starting to creep under there a little bit. Minus 155 bet online. So it's kind of wild.
I think it's kind of wild, man. But yeah. Before even like, say before the DDP fight, even coming off a Strickland loss like that, people would have chalked that up. He'd be minus 300 in this fight against Imavov. But I think he didn't have the price.
Yeah, like you said, I don't see the evidence that he's washed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like he was out in his last fight and just got completely blown out of the water. He ended up getting finished, but that was a very competitive fight up until that point.
He was up in a title fight. DDP was going to need a finish going into the fifth round to win that fight. That's Izzy's very last fight. DDP was going to need a finish, or Izzy was going to be the champ. We'd be talking about him having the belt right now.
There you go. There you have it. So not a lot of consensus bets, but a lot of consensus on the podcast tonight.
Scary.
We'll see if that continues, a good start to the year for all of us, or if it's time that we come back down to reality a little bit. But we shall see. Remember, folks, get your Toutmaster picks in. Early card, 9 a.m. Eastern start, I think.
Allegedly. It might have changed, but it's around there.
Not bad. My wife's out in Vancouver this weekend, so wake up. I got this wonderful new coffee. Barrel-aged coffee. You can taste like a little bit of the like whiskey on it. Going to brew another pot of that. Maybe I'll even bust out the old latte machine. Make a couple special breakfast drinks and enjoy some fights on Saturday morning. So Saturday morning fights, when you're my age, is like what WWF was on Saturday mornings when I was a kid. I feel like it's just a nice little treat. So,
Ohio Valley Wrestling was Saturday mornings, bro. Where you live at?
In Canada.
I know, but
you that's think we got Ohio Valley Wrestling?
Yeah, but you know who we had, though? We had Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett and all those fucking guys wrestled on Saturday mornings for us at Ohio Valley Wrestling. We had some legends when I was a kid.
For some reason, randomly, and at some point, Sean's going to start playing the outro music because he wants to
do it. He's got to hit it.
The Bushwhackers came up, like somebody said the term Bushwhacker. Ryan reminded me of going to the old Peterborough Memorial Coliseum to watch the Bushwhackers headline an event in like 1990. Great times.
So good back then. I actually loved it. It was so good back then, man.
They've got a whole bunch of the, at least up in Canada. I don't know if it's in the States, probably not, but Netflix in Canada has a whole bunch of like old Raws, all the old pay-per-views and stuff.
Yeah, they it's everywhere. They put the whole library on Netflix here. That's where it's at now.
Yeah.
It's where you watch awesome. It.
I've been going back and watching some old stuff. Ready? Some of it was so awful, but still so entertaining.
Yeah, you wouldn't show your children some of the Attitude Era stuff. And people had their 10-year-olds in the crowd.
The glory years.
Get ready. Your UFC is about to be on that same streaming app. You're going to have it there. So.
Probably.
It's happening.
Not up here. We get it.
Their new deal is probably going to be split between like ESPN and Netflix or somewhere else. So something's going to be on Netflix more likely.
At this point, I don't own anything that is specifically for the UFC. So if it ends up somewhere that I already have the subscription for, then I'll probably watch it.
Nice.
And if it doesn't, then I'll find a stream.
Yeah.
Well, when you get a kid, like Disney Plus is like a guarantee, and you might as well just package it. You get the ESPN, you get the Disney. It's all.
I don't want to mess with my ESPN subscription because it's worked for me.
The lacrosse.
I want to get it to mess that up in any form or fashion.
So you get the shit that's supposed to. Did not show in Canada on your subscription. That's nice. Yeah. Sometimes it glitches out like that. Like I'm not even going to sign out of this shit.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
It was a little scary when I got the new laptop, but we're good. We're good.
Nice.
Anyway, what do we have after this week? Is that
we have a pay-per-view allegedly with like two fights.
Two dudes that have beaten Israel Adesanya. There you go.
Strictly DDP and Suarez, if she can.
Suarez's neck is staying in one piece.
Yeah. Love it.
And the rest of that is.
Not great.
How much money do you think old MBS gave to get Izzy fighting in Saudi Arabia the week?
That's a lot of bones on.